heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Continuing with that thought from the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 31 through 33, can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster of Pleiades, or loosening the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons, or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? As you can see from Scripture, the Holy Word of God often refers to the heavens. And we were talking a few weeks ago now, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, where God has placed his signage in the skies as indicators for us about what may be coming. Literally, it's a type of warning system. And he lets us know that something is going to happen. Well, we have gotten so sophisticated in our society that oftentimes maybe we don't mean to, as Christians even, but we seem to ignore some of God's signage and just think, well, we're so scientific, we've got so much knowledge. Let me show you some things that we have learned just recently. These are newly discovered, except the first one. Ceres is a dwarf planet. It is between Mars and Jupiter in what is called the asteroid belt. This, believe it or not, would have been the first step in downgrading Pluto from a planet to a dwarf planet. It was discovered all the way back in 1801, but they didn't do much about it at that point, obviously. But now, this is what really caused Pluto to lose its status. Haumea is a dwarf planet out past Pluto in the Kuiper Belt, and it was discovered on March 2003. Eris is a dwarf planet. It's past Pluto. It was discovered in January of 2005. Now, in 2017, there were two very large planets that were discovered beyond Pluto. And these two planets, one is expected to pass between Mercury and Earth on its orbit. Do we know exactly when? No, we do not, because it has a 20,000-year orbit. Okay, that's one of these planets that was discovered in 2017. Now, we are not God. We know very little when it comes even to what is within our own solar system. And I want to just pause here for a moment. As humanity has increased in knowledge, and that has happened exponentially in modern times because of the computer, man has learned a great deal. But as you can see, when it comes to our own solar system, if you will, our own backyard in space, we continue to discover new things. So our understanding is not very great. Let me also point out that theological understanding has increased greatly in the last decade. If you pick up a new study Bible today, you will see things that you never saw before in that study Bible based on archaeological digs, based on new understanding of Hebrew or Greek language. We have gotten much better at understanding things, and things are coming into focus better. There are things that were taught for years that were taught incorrectly that are now being taught correctly. And there are things, you've probably heard this happen, or you've had a Sunday school teacher, or you've had a preacher, and maybe you've heard a message on the radio or seen a message on television, and then you go back to the one locally that you know and you say, did you see so-and-so on such and such a day? They'll say, no, I didn't. Well, you know, you gave the exact same sermon or the exact same Sunday school message as this national figure was preaching or teaching on that same week. Well, you know how that happens? God. It is the Holy Spirit getting his message out. And that is how it occurs. So anyway, we have gotten brighter, but we are not God. In the scientific realm, in the theological realm, we are much more intelligent, and I believe that, than we have ever been. But we are a far cry from having anywhere near the knowledge of God. So is there still mystery? Absolutely. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. This is from Exodus chapter 33, verses 22 and 23, when God is giving Moses his request. He asked God to show himself to him. God cannot show himself fully, completely to Moses, or Moses would die. So he puts him in the cleft of a rock and he covers that cleft with his hand. But he is passing by Moses and he allows him to see him from the rear. So he passes by and Moses can see him as he removes his hand. But it's here in a natural realm. Moses was in the mountainous area. He was put in a cleft of the rock. Does God use nature? Absolutely, he uses nature. He uses his creation. Let's look at a scripture from Elijah, from an account of Elijah, I should say. It's from 1 Kings 19, verse 9, and verses 11 through 12. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now verse 11. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is when Elijah had gotten very, very depressed. He had just won an amazing battle against the prophets of Baal and a very wicked queen. But after all that exertion, he was exhausted and he ran away and he hid himself away. And God found him and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He fed Elijah, picked him back up, built him back up, and sent him back out as the prophet of God that he was. Why do I use that illustration? Because it mentions all these natural events. Fire. We know something about fires. We know something about great wind. And I'm not just talking about what comes from the pulpit. We know something about earthquakes. All of these things have just happened in the natural realm in a very mighty way. Okay, does God use his creation? Absolutely. One more illustration. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. And is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as on a normal day. Joshua 10, verses 12 through 13. God gave Joshua an amazing, mighty victory that took place on that day when the sun stood still. Well, they kept very good records, and in Joshua's day, they would put these type of battles in the book of Jashar. We do not have it today, but why do I bring this up? Because God caused the heaven to stand still. You know the only way that that can happen is for the earth to tilt. That it was discovered in China that there was a day on the other side of the earth that the sun did not come up when it was supposed to come up. And they believe it was the same day that on this side of the earth, or in those different spots, okay, China and Israel, that's the day that Joshua had a long, long day to fight his war. Now, have we become so cynical that we scoff at the thought of God using his signage to signal us regarding upcoming events on earth? I think we have. Are we so scientific that God is no longer mysterious? You know, we read an account like this, and as Christians who believe the full word of God is true, we take it and we accept it and we believe it is true. But he should suggest that something like this would be possible today at the hand of God. I think most of us would be very, very skeptical. We might say, yes, I believe that can happen, but then we might just walk away and say, but I don't think so. There are several views regarding pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and I'm meaning the tribulation and the rapture. There are several views, and I've studied all of the views because it's not clear. Keep those things in mind. We'll get back to them. The stellar sign at the crucifixion. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. And suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. Luke 23:44-46. Observation, and you can go to the Matthew's gospel as well. But there was darkness that occurred on this earth for 3 hours. What happened? Also, one writer, and I really like this, when the temple curtain was torn in two, do you know how that thing is 60 feet wide and 40 feet down? Okay, its width is 60 feet, and its length, if you will, as it hangs up to the floor is 40 feet. It's big. It's super thick. All right? And it was torn in two. And one writer put it this way. Do you know how you see in Scripture several times when a Hebrew person or a Jewish person is grieved, what do? They tear their clothes. Father God tore the curtain in the temple and rent it in two when his son died. Yes, it has significance of the fact that the Holy of Holies is now available to us through Jesus Christ, who intercedes as high priest for us at the right hand of God the Father. But God was grieving his son tremendously. We know it was Passover when the crucifixion took place. They believe there were about 2.5 million people that descended upon Israel at that time for Passover. At 3 p.m., the lambs were slaughtered. At 3 p.m., Christ died on the cross. No coincidence. A solar eclipse can only last 7 minutes and 23 seconds, scientifically speaking. That's it, period. A lunar eclipse had occurred the day before. The moon was in the wrong place. Plus, it could have only lasted 7 minutes and 23 seconds at the most. It lasted 3 hours. So, what blocked out the sun? Was it God's hand? He covered Moses and he didn't let him see. God could do anything. It could have been his hand. But that's not usually how he works. I showed you all of the things that have been recently discovered in our solar system. But I only showed you the things that could be seen. The things that reflect light. So I want you to open your mind just for a moment. Think like a scientist and think like a theologian, because both come from the same source, God. Some stars, depending on their type and depending upon their age, can't be seen because they absorb light. They do not reflect light. So, there are very, very expensive infrared telescopes. There's about 8 of them down in Antarctica, pointed at the skies, so they can see things that are invisible to our normal sight. Even using super strong telescopes, they can't be seen in the visual spectrum. They have to be seen by their heat signature. So they're looking infrared at these things. The major nations of the world have telescopes in Antarctica, and the Vatican has a telescope in Antarctica. Amazingly enough, it has an acrostic, but it spells out Lucifer. That's the name of their telescope. A little bit of humor there. So, do I know what other stellar bodies are out there? No, I do not. Do I think that God probably used a stellar body to pass by in our solar system and block out the sun on the day of the crucifixion? Yes, I do. Because that would make sense. Tilt a whirl and our great God. All right? You'll see where I'm going in a minute. The Gulf Stream is slowing. We know that. Okay? They thought the Gulf Stream was slowing because of desalinization, meaning that the ocean was not getting that as salty as it used to be because of more fresh water going into it. But it turns out, they now know, it's getting more salty, and they have no explanation for why the Gulf Stream is slowing. Well, what's the impact of that? The Gulf Stream travels up between Europe and the North and Southern American, the coastal continents, all right? So you have both of those things happening. But England, which is over there by Europe, it's an island. It stays fairly warm all the time. And yet, if you go around and its distance from the North Pole is the same as Siberia, winters are much more significant in Russia than they are in England. Well, why? It's because of the Gulf Stream. Because it's carrying warm water north. And then after it cools off, the water heads south again. Okay? So that's just happening all the time. The poles react to gravity. You know, when the crucifixion happened, I said a planetary body could have passed between us and the sun. All right, when Joshua was fighting his battle, the earth tilted so that the sun would stay up. That would have been caused by a planetary body passing the earth and grabbing a hold of the magnetic poles. This isn't science fiction. I'm hopefully educating you as to possibilities. Gravity and the Earth's tilt-a-whirl. Those are the things that affect our weather more than anything. And if you talk, what affects the Earth and our climate? It's gravity, and it's the Earth's tilt, and it's twirl. It spins. If God can order the universe, he can order your life, and he can order mine. But he will only do that if asked and if allowed. Now, the one thing I do not want to see happen is us to become so cynical or to become so scientific that we take out of the equation the mystery of God. I do know one thing that is exciting, but I do know God has signage for us. I do know that Jesus Christ came, gave his life, died on a cross, rose again, and he paid the price for our sins. I know that, absolutely. I know that God, and in the scriptures, we see the use of the planetary bodies in various sundry ways. God is God. He will always be God. He is the only one who knows all the answers. And we'll go and we'll ask, okay, what exactly did this mean? And we figure it out because we're in the presence of God. And we've got an answer. We've got the answer. We've got the real, absolute truth. That only comes from God. That does not prevent us from continuing to seek His will, to seek an understanding of His ways. One thing that has come about in the last, okay, I mentioned theological increase in knowledge in the last 10, 15 years, has been an understanding that the Hebrew festivals have prophetic impact. The first four festivals have been fulfilled with the coming of Jesus Christ. The coming, the death, and resurrection of Jesus have fulfilled the first prophetic things regarding the first four festivals. They're all in the spring of the year. The three in the fall of the year have not been fulfilled prophetically yet. Okay, but they will be fulfilled. But I do want to remind you of this. Luke 21, 25 through 27. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. Sounds familiar. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. I've mentioned to you before, when Christ comes, it's not going to be a secret. Everyone is going to see when Christ comes. Okay? So, the bottom line. God has placed signs or signals in the sky to make us aware of significant events He enacts. We don't have anything to do with it. And there will be, same verse, just letting you know it again, there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. But Christian, you do not have to be. Because God is sovereign. And if you know Jesus Christ, you know the end of the story. Amen. You know the end of the book. You know that you will be protected. I will tell you this, Feast of Trumpets just ended. One of the critical things in Feast of Trumpets that will need to be fulfilled prophetically is a thing called the Hidden Day. The Hidden Day is where God takes a group of His people and He hides them away from the turmoil that will happen on the earth. Well, praise God. That's one of the reasons we can't really nail down the rapture. People will, though, be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. God knows our solar system way better than we do, the seen and the unseen. Then everyone will see the Son of Man, though. That will be visible, coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. If you know Jesus Christ, you have that to look forward to. So my question, any of us could be taken home any time. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? I love this verse. Let all the world look to me, not me. God is saying this. Let all the world look to me for salvation. For I am God, there is no other. Amen?
Amen. Amen.